And on the line, a handyman to know as well, if you want to know about astronomy, is David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, now before we talk about the Starbecue and the Mars Festival, since July, I've been wanting to talk to you since July. And I kept forgetting, and because I noticed something in the sky, and very, very bright, and it looked like there was an aura around it as well. Any idea? Well, silly question. Any idea? Of course you know what it is. Someone said to me it's Pluto.
Yeah, no. Pluto requires the most powerful telescopes in Ireland to see. It's extremely faint because it's so small and the outermost of a, well, now a dwarf planet. But if you've been looking low in the south, for about 3 or 4 months now at least, there's an extremely bright object, and it's actually the planet Mars.
Wow.
It wasn't there last year. It won't be there next year because it only comes... It comes close to the Earth every 2.1 years, but there's a cycle of 15 to 17 years when it's exceptionally close because its orbit is a little bit egg-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening this year. It hasn't happened since 2003. It won't be a similar distance again until 2035. So this is a pretty unique year that leads us very nicely into the Starbecue because it's going to be the main target. It was in 2003. Starbecues have been running since 1992. Mm-hmm. And I still can see in my mind's eye the view of Mars and in the huge telescopes with the dark surface markings. There were two little sort of prongs sticking out of one of the dark markings we later identified as Bomer Sinus.
Does that give David, does that give the illusion of like an aura around it? Or is it my eyesight? I haven't the luxury of a telescope.
That's to do with our eyesight. It's glare. It's that, you know, if you think of the retina of your eye, it's made up of cells, and if a very bright light is focused onto it, it's going to scatter around inside both the cell it actually hits and the nearby cells. And this is why bright stars look big, because the light from them actually leaks into surrounding cells. The same thing happens with photographs. The light bounces around into the different pixels on your digital camera or old film. It scatters around inside the film in old-style photographs. And so bright stars look big. They're all actually tiny pinpoints in reality. But it actually helps because when you photograph things, it means you can tell which is brighter, because if it just lit up the one pixel it was hitting and it didn't leak into the surrounding ones, then you wouldn't know it was particularly bright. In fact, pictures would be boring of the night sky.
Okay, what we'll do is we'll start a few things happening and we'll work our way back. If I'm correct, the last thing to happen, well, there's always something happening with Astronomy Ireland, but the public lecture on Monday the 10th in Trinity College. Give us all the details on that first.
Well, yes, we have a talk about how the solar system, which also means the stuff in your and my bodies, formed. And we're pretty sure now there was a huge swirling cloud of dust and gas that coalesced into boulders, if you like, and they collided with each other and became the planets orbiting the sun. But there are lots of rocks left in space from that process, and some of the larger ones have bumped into each other, smashed each other apart again, and there is a certain number of meteoroids, we call them. These are objects that haven't yet hit the Earth, floating around in space. They're very small. We're not going to see them with telescopes. But when they hit the atmosphere, the biggest ones, say bigger than your fist, are going to be able to survive the re-entry process and land on the ground as meteorites. And the National Museum of Ireland has a collection of meteorites. So does the Geology Department of Trinity College. And Dr. Ian Sanders, he's a geologist. His area of speciality is meteorites, rocks that come from space rather than the ones that long billions of years ago came from space, made the Earth, and have now been regurgitated by all the processes that go on in the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever somebody thinks they found a meteorite, Ian very kindly analyzes it to see, is it a meteorite? Unfortunately, it's almost always an interesting rock from the Earth. But there have been meteorite falls on Ireland and around the world, and he has a collection of those as well, and he actually hands them out so people can actually hold rocks from space. They're not dangerous. Some of them are a bit delicate. One or two will be inside plastic cases. But some of them you just hold, they look like giant lumps of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And we think they came from the center of a really big asteroid, hundreds of miles across, where the melting process that happens in the Earth was enough to make the metal sink to the center of the asteroid, just like it does to the Earth. There's a big metal core in the center of the Earth. That's where most of the metal from the rocks in the Earth now lies. And then something hit that, smashed it to smithereens, and threw the lumps of metal out into space. And we picked them up on the Earth, and now we're handing them around at a public lecture on September the 10th. And there are lots of these meteorites around. They're quite rare, the pure metal ones, but they're amazing to look at. It looks like a piece of metal that humans would have smelted.
Okay, and that's all happening on the 10th of September at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, and it's on DVD for anybody who can't get along in directly, and there's more details off the talk if you go to astronomy.ie.
And if anyone looks up astronomy.ie and sees other wonderful lectures you've had, you get the DVDs of them all. And also, you have a text facility there as well on Astronomy Ireland, and you have a magazine out as well, so people can find out everything, and you don't have to know anything about astronomy to be interested, and I'm a perfect example of that. Okay, and also the Starbecue taking place, as you said, when was it started? 1995, is that what you said? Or 1992.
Yeah.
1992,
okay. The club formed in 1990, and we saw this idea that people were holding barbecues and viewing sessions in dark skies, and we thought, well, that'll attract people out to the dark skies. We ran one just for our members in the beginning. It became extremely popular. Now we opened it up to the public. People come from all over the 32 counties. And our more advanced members, you don't have to have a telescope to be a member of Astronomy Ireland, but obviously a few do. And they're very kind and bring it along to this fundraiser event. And you've got telescopes that are 1 to 5,000 times more powerful than your eye. And you can just imagine what you see in those. And it's become a whole festival now with trade stands, talks by astronaut hopefuls, Mars book authors. There's a giant laser system we have, most powerful handheld laser in Ireland. It shoots a beam 40 kilometers up into the sky that everyone can see at the same time. And we can point out the constellations live under a dark sky. And we're in the Wicklow Mountains, so the skies are pitch black. You can see the Milky Way going down to the horizon. It's an amazing place, an amazing event. And, you know, even if you know someone's not interested in astronomy, you bring them along and they will be awe-inspired.
Okay, and you're calling it the Starbecue 2018 and the Mars Festival, and that's because of the proximity of Mars, I suppose, this year, isn't it?
Yeah, and with Mars being this close, we had to hold one event for public viewing of Mars. Anyway, we always have one for Jupiter and Saturn each year, but Mars does this special thing every 2.1 years, and we thought, well, the best time to see it's actually going to be around September, so we can't really have two events, so we'll merge the two together. That means we'll actually get more telescopes and actually bigger telescopes than normal to look at Mars while it's this close. So it's perfect timing.
Indeed, indeed. As I say, everything is up on your website, astronomy.ie.
Yes, it's dedicated to it for the next 8 days because it's happening tomorrow weekend. You need to buy your tickets in advance. There are a few tickets available at the gate, but we have to charge a premium price because our caterers, it's a barbecue, our caterers need to know 2 days beforehand how many people are coming so they can order the correct quantity of food.
Okay. Sounds great. And anyway, there's always something going on in Astronomy Ireland, and people just look up the website. Thank you very much for talking to us, David. Always a great pleasure, and you've solved that little mystery for me as well.
And
I'll
no
continue
problem,
looking
anytime.
At Mars. Incidentally, there's something. Haven't they got a probe on Mars at the moment?
Oh, yes. There's the Opportunity rover that's sort of stuck in. There's a bit of a dust storm happening on Mars. I was looking at it last night. My own telescope's beginning to clear. You can just about see the ice caps and the dark markings now. But it covered the solar panels in dust, and it shut down. But the Curiosity rover is nuclear-powered. It has nuclear batteries on board, and it's been trundling along, looking for places where we could find water, which means life might have evolved on Mars, and it has found that. But it's still going. We'll be going for many more years. And the big story this year for Mars was that the European Space Agency was found water, liquid water, below the surface of Mars. And that's a complete game changer. It's the reason why one of the big talks is about Mars at Starbecue, and it's about the exploration of Mars, written by Kevin Owens, written a book on the exploration of Mars, and he's going to interpret these latest results. You know, how real are they? What does it mean? And the basic bottom line of what it means is this. If liquid water survived from the time when Mars did have oceans, we know it did have billions of years ago, until today, and life formed in those oceans, which it should have, because that's how we think it got started on the Earth, then there's been a path for life to keep evolving on Mars below the surface. And we have lots of life below the surface of the Earth. So there now has to be life on Mars.
gets curiouser and curiouser. Yeah, and
I
was just thinking as well with the proximity of Mars at the moment. I know science and the technology is absolutely wonderful, but because of the proximity, does that give them more clarity on information coming back and coming back quicker as well?
Actually, no. Not really. The missions are well able for the few minutes delay that they have. They collect photographs on their own. The robots are artificially intelligent and they can do their own thing. They'll even wake themselves up after this dust storm goes and the dust gets blown off the solar panels. So that doesn't matter how far away they are. It's really just for us. The people want to see Mars live, that this is a great year. We have spacecraft on Mars and in orbit about Mars, photographing it all the time. There's more probes being built on their way there. There'll hopefully be a sample return mission, and one day people, probably in the 2030s, will set foot on Mars. And the billionaires like Amazon.com, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, PayPal, Tesla, all those things, SpaceX, they've all said they're going to have 1 million people living on Mars by the end of this century.
Wow.
Now, when billionaires of that ilk say that, you've got to think they've done their calculations properly, and they are definitely putting their money where their mouth is. Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com, became the most wealthy man in the world this year. He's cashing in $1 billion of his shares every year to put people on Mars.
Wow, so it gets better every time, and the interest in astronomy for that reason grows and grows. Okay, people, look up astronomy.ie. Astronomy.ie for the Starbucks that is happening on the 8th of September in Roundwood, and then that lecture on the 10th in Trinity College at 8 o'clock. Always a great pleasure talking to you, David. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Noel. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's David Moore, Astronomy Ireland, astronomy.ie. It's great, isn't it? He's had to get me all excited there talking about that. I won't see it, but a lot of people on Mars and forwarded down the generation. Wow, how exciting is that?